There is always the question, why were we born? What were we born for? And what should we live for in this life? Some people answer that we were born to complete our education, to have a family, or simply to seek enjoyment and pleasure day by day. Living in this way remains within the cycle of existence, within birth, aging, sickness, and death, and carried along by defilements, one is reborn again in the round of samsara. Going around like this, one does not escape the cycle of birth and death. Because we are born to study, earn money, have a family, gain fame, and seek happiness. This is indeed how a great many people live. But those who have developed wisdom are able to find the answer for themselves, discovering a meaning in life that is higher and better than before. This applies to those who have begun to see the nature of suffering, because such views have existed for a very long time. Even during the Buddha's time, people held such views. However, the perfectly self-awakened Buddha saw something higher still, a meaning of life more valuable than simply living a worldly life. Therefore, the Buddha sought and discovered a path that transcends the world and established the way and practice, teaching the Dhamma. Yet even today, people still cannot find a clear answer for themselves as to why they were born and what they should live for. Most people tend to look only at ordinary, everyday life. When we wake up and we have to go to work. When we are children, our duty is to study so that in the future we can work. When we reach working age, we enter the stage of having a family. Once we have a family and support it, we strive to accumulate wealth, money, and possessions. As we gain more, we seek reputation and recognition, hoping these things will bring us greater happiness. Some people are already happy and materially complete, yet still seek even more happiness. They may lose their way and turn to drugs, believing this will bring them greater pleasure. This is because the happiness they already have feels full and complete, and they can imagine nothing beyond it. Instead of using wisdom to cultivate goodness, building upon their existing happiness through generosity, helping others, and developing inner happiness, many turn instead towards misguided forms of pleasure. This happens frequently and leads people into various kinds of drug use. Some become addicted to alcohol, some to methamphetamines, and some to more severe drugs. This is called seeking happiness in an unwholesome way, a happiness not grounded in morality and virtue. Becoming lost in vice, the mind descends into lower realms, which are realms of suffering and discomfort. But those who possess some wisdom will see that they should help others. Once they have sufficient wealth and possessions, more than they need, they use it to benefit people in the world. They use their wealth to build hospitals, build schools, and help impoverished communities so that society may improve. Some may even provide transportation for those who have no relatives and lack financial means, helping them return home after they have passed away, or they may support medical treatment for those who are sick and suffering. There are many ways such things can be done by people who possess wisdom. As we know, there are those who have hundreds of millions or even billions and can give generously with ease. They don't seek only personal benefit, but also see the benefit of the wider community. This is often done by those who possess great wealth and resources. As a result, a sense of fulfillment and joy continually arises in their hearts through such actions. Some also help, support, and sustain Buddhism at the same time. And this is certainly something worthy of rejoicing in and appreciating. For if we are born, and the meaning of our life is merely to continue existing and surviving, then, as depicted in some Mahayana paintings, we will be caught by the yakas, demons. These yakas are greed, hatred, and delusion, which catch and eat us through aging, sickness, and death within samsara. But if we find the correct answer, then we must practice correctly according to the Buddha's Dhamma, and we will have a path leading beyond suffering. We will live meaningfully, living to accumulate merit and barami, spiritual potential, allowing goodness to arise in our hearts every day. Then, day after day, we will possess a wholesome and refreshed mind. The word life itself implies freshness and vitality. Without merit and wholesome qualities, there can still be a kind of excitement and freshness, but it is merely worldly excitement, and that excitement becomes a cause for suffering. The freshness that comes from Dhamma, however, the freshness that comes from the Dhamma is a freshness that gradually leads beyond suffering, little by little. Then life acquires a deeper meaning from the perspective of the Dhamma. But first we must consider what is most important in life. What should we take care of first? Health, right? Health is important. If we have good health, we have opportunities to earn wealth, to help society, to travel to distant places to make merit and perform wholesome deeds. But if our health is poor, we can still practice at home. We can maintain mindfulness, know the in-breath and out-breath, chant and meditate. We can practice at home and even turn our home into a monastery, though we must train ourselves to reach to that level. In the beginning, however, we should first come to the monastery, come to a peaceful place, set aside the various distractions and busyness of life, and once we leave home, the mind becomes more spacious and ready to receive the Dhamma. Therefore, health is important. We must maintain good balance, recognizing that one important factor for the body is consuming appropriate and sufficient food. We already know which foods are harmful and which foods are beneficial to the body, but we should not forget the importance of good air and adequate water. If we drink too little water, many illnesses can arise. If we still hold wrong views and think that water is unimportant, then we must be careful and maintain proper balance regarding our health. This is also for the sake of maintaining good mental health. We must exercise as well, so that the body remains strong and healthy. Having a family is fine. If one has a family, one should live responsibly and morally, so that there is happiness and peace of mind. But for some people, the meaning of life changes as time passes. If we speak from the perspective of Buddhism, then observing the 8 precepts means not becoming lost in or indulging in various sense pleasures that bring no real benefit. The teachers said that such indulgence wastes time without producing benefit. Therefore, we undertake the 8 precepts, because with the 5 precepts, there is still some degree of enjoyment and delight in worldly pleasures. So using our time meaningfully in life, we have goodwill towards one another, have love for one another, cultivating the Brahma Viharas, the sublime abidings, not being jealous or envious of anyone, and possessing gratitude and appreciation. These bring happiness and peace of mind at the level of one who already possesses sila, morality, and goodness. As for the benefits of sila, the saying goes, silena sugatin yanti. Through morality, one gains happiness and peace of mind. It removes mutual suspicion and fear, especially when morality is maintained and developed to its highest level. The sila, morality, is a noble wealth. It is an important treasure. It is an Aryan treasure that accumulates continually, bringing increasing coolness and serenity to the heart. Sila, morality, ultimately leads towards Nibbana. There was a group of lay people who came to visit this monastery. One of them had visited when they were 13 years old, and 30 years had passed since that last visit. Just a brief moment, it seems, and now they are 43 or 44 years old. Time has passed that quickly. It really makes one reflect. It feels like only a moment ago that they came here, and now we meet again after 30 years have passed. If they were to return again after another 30 years, everything would have changed tremendously. Therefore, it is said that our human life is very short, like a dewdrop resting on the tip of a blade of grass. Once the sunlight touches it, it quickly evaporates and disappears. Our life of 80 years passes by this quickly. Therefore, we must establish ourselves in heedfulness and non-negligence. We must discover the true meaning of life. What exactly is it? Is it accumulating money? Accumulating houses? Buying cars? Gaining fame? Some people have cars and wealth and may be able to buy many cars, but in the end, they can drive only one at a time. Venerable Ajahn Chah said that even if one owns a very large house, one sleeps only in a small space within it. Moreover, such possessions often bring additional responsibilities and burdens of maintenance. And if we reflect carefully, all these things are external possessions. We can live wherever we like, while we still have the breath. But once our breath has ceased, even the house we live in, there'll be others coming to live there. We have gone somewhere else. There is no more time or opportunity to live somewhere for a person who has stopped breathing. No matter how large the house, how luxurious the car, or wherever it may be, they can no longer stay there. They must be placed in a small designated place prepared for them, partly to prevent disease from spreading, because this body is called the nest of diseases. Once the breath has ceased and the fire element no longer sustains it, various diseases and processes of decay begin to manifest in the body of the deceased. The body is finished. Its duty is finished. It then becomes the domain of bacteria and microorganisms, which begin the process of decomposition. Therefore, something is done with the body. Sometimes we bury the body. Sometimes we cremate and destroy it, because otherwise disease and contamination may spread, causing further difficulties for those who are still alive. That is how it is, and it is something worth reflecting upon. Therefore, we can see that while we still have the breath, something more important than ordinary things is having mindfulness. When we don't have mindfulness, we don't have a meaning of life. Therefore, each person must reflect on their own purpose, the purpose of their own life, which differs from one individual to another. Some people have the goal simply of studying well, working successfully, living their daily lives, having a family, a spouse, and children. That is one level. But some feel that a life limited to only these things is rather meaningless and of little benefit. They feel there must be something higher than that. Even while having a family, they seek something higher, which is the Dhamma. Especially during the Buddha's time, people were like this. Anatta Pindika and Lady Visakha and their followers and attendants were interested in practicing beyond the ordinary level. For people already understood the ordinary way of life. Life is just like this. We are born, we live, and we die. But those who wanted something higher turned towards the Dhamma. It was truly an age in which the Dhamma flourished. Therefore, having been born into this world, we should not compete with others, nor seek to defeat others. We should learn the three characteristics so that we can see reality as it truly is, without comparing ourselves to anyone. But the mental defilements constantly try to make us compare. Once we recognize this, we should gradually abandon it, let it go, and put it down. See that such things are natural for sense objects, but we must train ourselves to see through them and keep up with them. This kind of Dhamma means teaching ourselves while also teaching others. It is not that a monk's duty is merely to teach others, he must also teach himself. When giving a Dhamma talk, one teaches oneself as well as others, so that the heart develops knowledge, goodness, wisdom, mindfulness, and understanding ever more deeply. It is not right to teach others while failing to practice oneself. This would not be in accordance with the principles of the Dhamma. We must teach ourselves, cultivating understanding and insight, so that the meaning of our life becomes better and higher. In summary, regarding the practice, Venerable Ajahn Chah said, "All things are not ours." Therefore, we must keep watching our own minds and keep training our own hearts. We are not born simply to accumulate external possessions. We are born to reduce. Reduce what? Reduce the defilements. We are born in order to shed off, to let go. Let go of what? Let go of the self and ego. Let go of the desire to defeat others. Let go of competition. Let go of attachment to all the things we possess. These are what we must give up and let go of. Then we should do what is best and most meaningful of all. That is to strive to develop continuous mindfulness and clear comprehension, sati sampajanya. Therefore, we must train ourselves and ask, why were we born? What were we born for? And how should we practice so that our minds become better? How can we, day by day, reduce greed, hatred, and delusion, little by little? Then our lives will become truly meaningful. The meaning of life should include a purpose and a noble ideal, such as aspiring towards Nibbana. In our work and responsibilities, we should do our very best, without deceit, without corruption, and with honesty and integrity. You can see that sometimes people gain power, high rank, and good social standing, yet they engage in dishonesty and corruption. One day when karma bears fruit, they suffer. Having once risen to heaven, they may fall into hell. That is certainly not the right way. Therefore, we should live according to moral principles and maintain a higher purpose, training our minds so that they become peaceful, cool, and happy. Thus, the meaning of life for each individual may differ, but ultimately, it is directed towards happiness and peace of mind, towards transcending the self and reducing the ego. Yet as long as we remain in our present circumstances and have not fully transcended them, as long as we still live in society, we must live with goodwill, compassion, generosity, and mutual support. Within the family, we should fulfill our family responsibilities completely and properly. In this way, we can enjoy an appropriate level of happiness in our lives. Therefore, the principle behind the meaning of life is to be aware of our existence and to live appropriately, with balance and moderation. There is no single ready-made answer. It depends on how deeply and sincerely the heart aspires. So continue to train and cultivate yourselves. May you grow in blessings.